Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Call today, 412-742-4345. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports, Trevin A. Jones. If I sound excited, it's because I am. Why? Because I get to talk to you. Nah, I'm hanging out with the fellas, man. I got my boys in town. You know when that happens. It's on. It is on. Saturday morning. We're in the middle of March Madness. Well, it's almost over, though. And I'm going to brag to Ray and Vince in a minute. But, of course, we're going to talk about NCAA basketball. Wait a minute. First of all, let me back up. Urban Media Today, the fellas are in the house with me. It's not the Trevin A. Jones show. I got Ray Porter Jr. and I got Vince Butts. What's up, fellas?
What's going on? Hello to you.
There you go. So that's the way we got to do this properly, right, man? Because you know me, I'll take over. Anyway, Vince picked Duke to win the national championship. Mm-hmm. I picked Oklahoma, and Mr. Ray Porter Jr. over there picked Villanova. And he actually wrote an article about that. So Ray is still hype on Villanova, so we'll get into that in a second. But today we're going to talk about the NCAA tournament, of course, because we're in the middle of that. We're also going to talk about some people hopping to the pro league, like Trae Young. Can I say it again? Trae Young.
Unbelievable.
There's others coming. Believe me, there's others coming. Like, I believe Marvin Bagley III is going to be another one coming.
Absolutely.
I believe DeAndre Ayton from Arizona, I believe he's going to be another one.
What about – I thought about this, and I don't know if you paid attention, but someone for you to jump on the train.
Why y'all jump on the train, man? Why y'all be jumping on the train, man?
Giannis's little brother, under the
cupola. I saw that.
You know what? I saw his name, too.
I saw that.
I didn't even know he had a brother.
But he went. Yeah, he has an older brother. An older brother, Thanis.
Yeah.
Thanis, who plays in Greece.
Yeah.
He actually played in the NBA for a minute.
Wow.
And then he has the younger brother that's coming. And I heard, and this is no joke, I heard 2 years ago that his younger brother is better than the two of them.
Is he as tall?
He's 6'10". He plays at Dayton. I saw Vince go, I'm not sure about that. And the reason he said that is because this brother's been sitting on Dayton's bench all year.
Right.
Like, he only averaged 5 points a game, and he might have gotten 2 rebounds. And he's 6'10". So I don't think he's better than the Greek freak. I'm sorry. But Giannis Antetokounmpo is the man.
Maybe he has the potential to be better than
because he's still a kid.
Potential's potential, but I ain't seen it yet.
And here's something else I read, too, about the Greek freak. And this is kind of like what we were talking about early this year. I really believe he's not going to stay in Milwaukee. There's no way.
The market's just not big for him. I say it again? Thank goodness. He's rich, though. I mean, he's getting what?
They signed him to a $100 million contract
$100 million. Okay.
I mean, he's not going anywhere unless he says, gets to the end of the contract. Like,
right.
Wait. Now, Ray just told you that he heard that Giannis is leaving. How are you going to shoot him down? He didn't even get to explain.
Well, it was based on a report, though. But I believe that. I believe he's not going to stay long. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got to jump in on that, too, because Vince is our NBA analyst. So, Ray, if Vince tells you that Giannis isn't going anywhere, Giannis isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
All right, Vince, go ahead.
I know what he means, but yeah, go ahead.
No, Vince. I know the NBA is changing.
Yeah.
So players have more control and they're demanding more control over their basketball careers.
That's an understatement.
So, I can see him saying, you know what, in a couple years, this is not really working. I don't know if he's that type of guy, though. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There are guys out there who, no matter what the situation is, you know, they want to work through it.
Right.
I don't know him. I haven't heard anything about him being, you know, the type that is going to say, I've done my time,
right,
and it's time for me to move on.
I can understand that.
And I can certainly change.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he won't leave. I just think it's a little early to think that he will leave when he doesn't quite yet have the cards in his favor.
Right, and I can see that. But the minute, I'm telling you, maybe it's next year, maybe it's the year after, the minute Milwaukee starts tanking, then that trade deadline, everybody's going to start asking for him. Could be one of those cases, including the Lakers.
I mean, where are they at in the standings this year, right? Like, right now,
The season's almost over. What, you got like 10 games left?
Hard to believe.
Well, I mean, when the All-Star break wasn't the midway point of the season.
That's true. It's amazing how time flies, though, you know?
Yeah, it definitely is.
right now, they're in the eighth spot.
Right.
They're so in the last playoff spot.
So they'll make the playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, if the season ended, they'd be playing Toronto. Toronto is, you know, I mean, I'm giving a lot of props to Toronto right now. I mean, they're playing outstanding basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like starters and bench, guys are playing their roles. You know, they're making a leap. Obviously, leap forward.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they have enough to get past Boston or Cleveland in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't.
But they're making strides,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's what you have to do as an NBA team. Make strides. Now, getting back to Milwaukee, you know, I think Milwaukee, if they've been the AC playing Toronto, I think they're going to give them everything they can. You have Jabari Parker back. He's working himself back into that rotation.
Mm-hmm.
If he's healthy, Milwaukee is a very good team and a team that, quite honestly, is capable of knocking off Toronto.
I believe that.
So do you think that Kostas is declaring for the NBA draft could end up playing for his brother in Milwaukee? Because he's not even in the top 50 high school prospects.
Right. So
and he had to sit out a year because he transferred. He played 2 years of high school ball in Greece.
Mm.
And then he transferred. When the family moved to Wisconsin, then he played a year of high school ball. So the NCAA, whoever they are, I mean, I'm not a fan of NCAA. They said that he had to sit out last season, 2016-17, as a partial player.
Mm.
So he sat out, and then he got to play this year. So he's redshirted last year, played this year. Only averaged 5.2 points per game. He played like 15 minutes a game, and he got 2.9 rebounds. Now, this is the thing about Kostas, though. If he declares for the NBA draft and he doesn't get drafted, or if he doesn't, you know, go into the draft, he can go back to Dayton
because
he's not asking for a transfer.
Right.
And as long as he doesn't get an agent, because if he gets an agent, then he can't go back.
Yeah, I don't think he will. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a filling out process.
Right.
He wants to talk to NBA people and kind of gauge where would he go. And to be honest, if he's smart, but a smart thing to do would be, even if he was projected to go in the second round, I'd stick it out if I'm him.
Right.
Yeah,
because, okay. I mean, I know there's no guaranteed contract.
Right.
But then you have an opportunity. Once you get past the first wave of teams, then you can go almost anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not talking about, like, obviously he's not going to be at the top of in the lottery, top first round. I don't think he's done enough.
Mm-hmm.
And based off of potential, there's too many guys ahead of him,
mm-hmm.
that have shown they can play at the collegiate level and potentially at the NBA level. So there's a ton of guys who are ahead of him, particularly guys with size.
Right.
He's
6'10", though.
He's 6'10". But remember, we looked at the players who are projected to come out this year,
mm-hmm.
the projected lottery picks this year. You had, I think, the first six or seven are all 6'10" or above.
Okay.
You know, 6'9", 6'10". All pretty much front court players.
My goodness.
And then I think the next couple of players were point guards, Colin Sexton and Trae Young.
Right.
So, I mean, you look, the NBA is all about height. I mean, it's Trae Young can play. There's mm-hmm. no doubt. Colin Sexton can play. Those boys are nice. But I don't know if you're in a lottery, I don't know if you're going to pass up all that height, all that skill.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, Antetokounmpo is going to be behind those guys. If he can find a way to
talking about Kostas,
right? If he can find a way to get his name, if he can find a way to get his name talked about in the first round, mm-hmm. like potential wise,
mm-hmm.
He'll be in a good spot, because some teams will pass him over,
right?
But. You know, he's obviously not going to top half.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes in the bottom half,
mm-hmm.
those are all playoff teams.
Right.
You know, I mean, the potential to go to Houston, Golden State, the Cavs. Well, I don't know. Cavs don't have a late round pick.
Right? Now, you're talking about Giannis's younger brother now?
Yeah, Kostas.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if I was him, I wouldn't be so tied to if I'm in that top half of the first round. if I'm projected to be a late round, second round pick,
right?
You know, those are nice situations to be in.
Right, and I agree. I mean,
you agree with everything.
Hey, man, I'm going along with the NBA basketball analyst here. But you know, Trae Young, you know, at first, I know at the beginning of the season, I was like, yeah, he should go. He's going to leave. And then as Oklahoma had their struggles, I know he had a little bit of challenges as well. I was thinking he should stay one more year. But now that he's going, I hope he also goes to a more contending team, so the pressure won't be on him. At least not his first year. He'll get a chance to adjust.
I think he's mentally ready.
I mean, he's a mature young man.
Having gone through that tough stretch this year, I think was something mentally that I think a lot of players are need to go through.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, these players, these are elite level players at the high school level.
Right.
Who are probably all competing for state championships in their respective states.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, the talent all around them, and you go to college, and if you haven't faced adversity, it can be tough to deal with once you get to the pro level, where you're a pro, right. You're getting paid. The expectation is different.
And it's not, you're not being treated like a kid. You're treated like an adult. Right. So that's a good point.
Because you're not a kid, man. Right. And you know what? I'm going to tell you both. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the NBA, I don't care what happened at Oklahoma this year. The Sooners got bumped. They were the team I picked to win it all. And they got knocked out in the first round.
They should have won that game.
Yeah, but they weren't going to win the championship. You know, I was like, I don't know what I was sipping on.
But it's
when we did our predictions. But anyway, it's not, when it comes to Trae Young now, when it comes to the NBA, it's not even about a team. It's about Trae Young.
Right.
He's now his own commodity. And when you're going through the NCAA in 32 games, you're leading the league in assist and points. He had 27.4 points per game. He had 8.7 assists per game.
Which was very impressive.
He also had the time to pull down 3 rebounds a game. And then he's shooting 36% from beyond the arc, the 3-point line. He's shooting 86% from the foul line. And it's like, man, this brother is real.
Yeah.
He's 6'2". He's a true natural 6'2". Now, he only weighs 180 pounds. That could be – he needs to bulk up, of course. He needs to get in the weight room. Oh, without question.
And they'll work it out for you.
Yeah, he needs to get in the weight room. But he's the purest shooter I've seen – since Steph Curry.
Right. And they're comparing him to
Steph Curry, of course. Yeah. And the thing that I like about him is I saw a show on him where they actually dug into his past. He's from Oklahoma, decided to stay in Oklahoma to go to high school, decided to stay in Oklahoma to play college ball because he could have gone to Kansas, I believe, and chose Oklahoma. And he grew up going to Oklahoma City Thunder games.
Oh, wow.
So that means he got to watch Kevin Durant. And he also got to watch Russell Westbrook.
Man.
Probably a little bit of James Harden.
Probably true. Well, the three of them. I mean, with him being, 18 years old, 20 years old, he probably got to see those cats when he was little.
Right.
So I like that about him. And I like the thing I like about Trae Young is his whole disposition.
Yeah.
He's a quiet cat.
Totally.
Okay, so that means if he ever catches fire and gets emotional, that cat's going to be dangerous in the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he can play reserved and put up the numbers that he's putting up and play as smooth as he's playing, don't make him mad. I mean, I'm waiting for Lonzo Ball to erupt like that. Don't make him mad because I think he's going to go off, and I think he's going to be a star. So that's what I think about Trae Young. But go ahead.
You know who that reminds me of in a sense? And he came out. He left early. He was averaging 25 points a game. Allen Iverson.
I thought that too.
I was a beast.
Right. And then the way he did that crossover.
I look at they have similar. I know there's reports that AI was barely 6 feet. But body wise, they're both slender.
Yeah, they were. You know,
not a lot of weight on them. But very effective.
Yeah, but I'm gonna tell you this, man. I don't even mean to cut you off. Mm-hmm. It reports that AI was under 6 feet. I met AI when I was working in New York. Mm-hmm. Stood next to the brother. I'm 6 feet tall. Mm-hmm. AI is all of 5'9", 5'10".
Is he like my height?
Yeah. And you can walk past AI on the street, and he would look like a regular brother to you at that point. Like, you wouldn't think that this cat took on 7 footers and 7 feet to players that were 7'2" in the league.
My goodness.
I mean, and I didn't mean to cut for you to lose your thought.
He definitely had a lot
AI
of this.
AI is tiny. He was all heart, man.
No, it's cool. I've always thought he was closer to 5'9", 5'10".
Right.
Exactly.
But I wish I had the chance just for that reason to stand next to him to be able to compare.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't want to short him too much.
I don't think I'm short enough. Like 5'10", I won't say 5'9", but 5'10", 5'11", but not 6 foot.
Nope. Right. And just what did he do? Because what did Trey have, like 4 40-point games this year?
Yes.
I think Iverson went on a tear the latter part of the year, averaging like 40-something points, and that's when he crossed over Jordan, and he had all those other, which he just snatched up the Rookie of the Year. So it just, I mean, if Young could make that explosion, then my goodness, yeah. I guess the potential is there.
It is there. And we're going to keep it moving. It's Urban Media Today talking sports. Got my man Ray Porter Jr. Got my buddy Vince Butts over here. Big guy. Always wishing you well. Can't wait for you to get back, because we're going to keep this moving, because we got plenty going on in the show. I'm excited. These cats are excited. It's Saturday morning. We're going to talk NCAA the rest of the tournament after this break. It's Talking Sports. Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Be right back.
Looking for some magic? Urban Media Today Radio, for the very best in adult and urban music. Listen to us on our app at TuneIn or Live 365. Urban Media Today features great music, entertainment updates, HBCU sports, breakfast toast and jams mixes for your morning wake up, and sports. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and register to win prizes on a weekly basis. All right here on Urban Media Today Radio.
It's Urban Media Today talking sports, and while you guys were listening to some commercials, there's good radio going on off mic. And Vince, you got to react the same way. Ray Porter Jr., who's all of 5'9".
Well, five eight and a half, something like that.
5'9"? Yeah. All of 5'9"? He sent me a text earlier this week, and in the text we were talking about Kostas declaring for the draft. Mm-hmm. Kostas Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo's younger brother. Mm-hmm. And Ray said, yeah, man. And then we talked about Trae Young.
Right.
He said, yeah, man. He said, yeah, I announced I'm going to go too. And what'd you say, Vince?
I said, go where?
Well, I could still show up and just be there. Yeah, right.
You're going to have a hard time getting a press pass in that joint.
Oh, please. Absolutely. That is just an understatement. Absolutely.
Yeah. You should do everything you can to get in there and be like Roger
Goodell. To get in where?
In the NBA draft.
Okay.
You know, and to the combine and be like, yo, let me, you know, I'm a rock that's like Roger Goodell. Like,
okay.
Let me do my 40 time.
Well, he did make an impression.
Not Rich, a good one, but.
No, needed it. Rich Eisen kind of did.
Well, you know, maybe he did for, what is he, 55?
Yeah, it's about that.
I mean,
that.
I guess for a 55-year-old, I guess running a 5-something for him. Yeah. I guess you're in a suit.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're all good.
Right.
And but yeah, that'd be funny to see Ray in the combine trying to jump up, trying to get that vertical up past, you know.
Well, I got this to say. We're talking sports today, and today's Saturday, the NCAA March Madness is still continuing. Mm-hmm. And after this weekend, we'll be down to the Final Four, which will actually play next weekend because the Elite Eight are playing now.
So in reference to today's tournament games, the first game today is going to be 9th-ranked Kansas State taking on 11th-ranked Loyola of Chicago, the Ramblers. And then you have Florida State, who is the 9th seed in the West bracket, taking on Michigan, who's the 3rd seed in the West bracket. And then tomorrow, Villanova, who's the number 1 seed in the East, taking on Texas Tech, who's the number 3 seed in the East. Texas Tech upset Purdue last night. And then you'll have number 1 Kansas facing number 2 Duke in the Midwest bracket. Kansas beat Clemson 80-76, and Duke beat Syracuse last night by a score of 69-65. By the way, Villanova beat West Virginia by a score of 90-78. Quite sure Ray's happy with that.
Ray's bracket. We had a bracket challenge. Mm-hmm. Urban Media Today bracket challenge. March Madness bracket challenge. And we actually got 26 brackets in this challenge, so I'm excited
That's
about
awesome.
That.
Very
this is the
awesome.
First year in a short notice, but we made it happen. So if Ray's bracket is any indication of how he would do if he actually declared to play to go to the NBA draft, you ain't got no problem. You ain't got no chance, brother.
I ain't got no chance.
You ain't got no chance, bro.
None?
No chance. Now, I'm not going to hate on your bracket, though, because in his bracket, he's at 14 right now. He's tied for 14. And he picked Villanova to win the national championship. He picked Villanova, Kansas, Xavier, and Virginia to make it to the Final Four. So we already know Virginia is gone.
Unbelievable.
Xavier is gone. So, and then Kansas, you know, Kansas did pretty good. So they're still there for you, and Villanova's still there for you. So, Ray, Villanova did win, so now they're still in it. So how's it make you feel? Doesn't make me feel good, but how's it make you feel?
Well, you know, I'm not an I told you so type person, you know, so I'll be classy about it.
I hear an I told you so.
Nah, they just, again, I I'm not surprised. I'm really not. I mean, they just the way they roll, man. And that old Hammer song. This is the way we roll. And they just dominated and did what they were supposed to do. And I think the show will continue on for them.
Back in the Final Four. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So Vince, let's move over to you, Vince. Mm-hmm. Now Ray, he was 14. His bowl had him in at number 14. And if any of you know me and you know how I've treated these gentlemen throughout the times that we recorded this show, I'm always leading up to something. So if I'm going to Vince next, you know where I stand. Anyway, Vince. My first rate bracket was the name of Vince's bracket. Mm-hmm. And Vince picked Duke to win the national championship. Now, Vince needed Arizona to get into the Final Four. He also needed Xavier to get into the Final Four. He picked Duke and Villanova.
What I saw out of that team was future NBA players. And that was my thought process in picking Duke as the national champion, was they had so much NBA talent, and I felt like winning an NBA championship, you got to have some top-level talent.
Winning the NBA championship, sorry, or NCAA?
NCAA.
Oh, you already got Marvin Bagley III going into the league, huh?
and a few other ones.
And Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
And Trent. Okay, I got
you. Yeah.
As far as brackets are concerned, I had the actually going into Friday, I had the number one and number two brackets. And then there was a brother named Josh who's playing in our poll. He had the number three bracket, and he had Villanova as a national champ. On one of my brackets that was ahead of him, I had Kentucky as a national champ. We all know where that went.
Oh, man.
But I also picked Duke on the other. So since Duke is in the Final Four, I'm like with Vince right now. I'm excited and like, okay, let's make this happen. That's not even a problem. So it's not a total loss. So next weekend, I'm like, okay, cool, let's make this happen. But if Duke doesn't come through, then I might not win our bracket challenge. All right. So now all of my polls are done. Just like, okay, so I don't know what to do. Duke let me down. I thought Duke was going to be the team. You know, hey, we'll see what happens next time. But anyway, I had two of my polls were one and two coming into Friday, and looks like come Monday, it's like I might feel as bad as I feel today. But anyway, I'm still going to watch the games. You guys still going to watch the games?
Oh, absolutely. Lots of fun.
Because the games are off the hook. I mean, it's just, you know, you got the Elite Eight going on. I'm excited. I'm liking the fact that Cinderella teams are in the Elite Eight, which is going to be exciting to see today. And it's like Loyola of Chicago. Mm. People don't know, but they actually played for the championship back in 1968 or 63.
63, right.
They actually played Cincinnati for the championship back in 63. So, I mean, Loyola, the Ramblers, I'm looking at them today. They play today because they played on Thursday, so they'll play today. So it's going to be an exciting day of basketball. You know what, guys, though? I hate this weekend in the NCAA tournament because – think about it. A week ago, you got to see 9 or 10 games all day long.
Right.
And that was for 2 days straight because it was Thursday and Friday. It started on Wednesday, even with the play-in games.
Right.
Then you went from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. You got to see games all day, basketball games all day. And then you come to this weekend, which they're kind of weaning you off a little bit because the games are in the evenings. Well, Thursday and Friday was in the evenings, and now today and tomorrow you have games. And then after tomorrow, it's like, wait a minute. There's only two games tomorrow.
Yeah, two games, right.
And it's two games today, and it's two games tomorrow. It's like, wait a minute. Where's the games? And I get upset. And then, okay, we look at next weekend for Final Four.
They don't waste no time, do they?
Yeah, they don't waste no time. And talk about we're not wasting time. My man John McCann, you know, he has that feature, that segment. Y'all know you're going to dig this. And he's talking about super talent. And I've talked about Marvin Bagley III, and we talked about Trae Young. But he got this to say. So check this out.
I know you're going to dig this.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell.
Remember toward the end of the college basketball season when the Duke Blue Devils were not looking particularly good? And then Duke freshman Marvin Bagley III went down with an injury. And Duke started looking better. And think about it now. Bagley's going to be an NBA lottery pick in June. Now, with that thought, let's stay in the NBA because we heard similar talk about the Washington Wizards when All-Star John Wall left the lineup with an injury. The chatter started. Oh, man, the Wizards, man, they better without John Wall, man. Now, No way in the world does Washington Wizards coach Scott Brooks want to send his team out on the floor without John Wall. And I mean, you're telling me that Duke's Coach K wants to roll the ball out there without Marvin Bagley and that nappy fro flopping around? Ain't no way in the world. On the other hand now, last season in college basketball, the North Carolina State Wolfpack had the dynamic freshman point guard Dennis Smith Jr. They did not do any damage, did not make the NCAA tournament. Now, Smith was one and done. He was an NBA lottery pick. Yet this season, without Dennis Smith Jr., NC State did more winning. NC State made it to the NCAA tournament. Now, is that because first-year NC State coach Kevin Keats, he should have been the coach of the year in the Atlantic Coast Conference, is it because Kevin Keats is that good? Or is it because when supreme talents like Dennis Smith Jr. and Marvin Bagley III and John Wall on the court, their teammates do more standing around watching them, and those uber talents, the Smiths, the Bagleys, the Walls, those uber talents fail to be leaders. Keeping you connected from the fields to the stands, I'm your man, John McCann.
My man John McCann weighing in as we were finishing up talking about the NCAA tournament. He's talking about John Wall in the NBA, so my Marvin Bagley III in the NBA. Ray, you had something you wanted to say before we move on to the NBA, though.
Yeah, I just wanted to add one more piece about the tournament. I had a chance to attend a couple of the games last week. It was amazing, mostly Villanova games. And then I saw Duke, saw some Alabama as well. So I was grateful. It was a good experience. But I want to use something in a quote, kind of like what Lynn Swann said when he was at his Hall of Fame speech and he nodded to John Stallworth. That was a good half hour. But the other half an hour will be complete when the next time I go, we can all go. That all of us can get ready to attend and experience a tournament, you know, because it wasn't the same without my brothers.
Oh, did you just shed a tear over there? Vince just shed a tear at the corner of his eye. Mm-hmm. He's like, yo, no, I'm just messing with you, man.
But 2022.
No, we're good. Let's make that happen.
Well, for the NCAA tournament, okay.
That's Every Media Today Sports, man. We're going to make it happen next year.
Let's make it happen.
This year was everybody's warning shot.
Right.
All right. Like, we letting everybody know we're here.
Right.
Next year is like, no, we're supposed to be up in there. We're supposed to be coming.
That's what I'm talking about.
So that's what we're going to do. Yep. We're going to keep it going.
So complete the hour.
Man, I appreciate that sentiment, man.
No, man, it wasn't the same, man. It wasn't the same without you. I'm used to Vince getting down there snapping pictures and everything, man. And it's a story to tell in itself. So. Yeah.
No doubt. Now, Vince, you had something that you wanted to say about the NBA. Oh, first I got to ask you, man. LeBron James, is he not the best player on the planet or not?
Easy. I don't think there's any debate.
He's on a tear.
Can you debate it if you wanted to?
It's hard to. It's hard to. I mean,
did you see him play last week?
Cat, I mean, I think you gotta forget how. Let's not talk about how old he is anymore.
That doesn't matter.
I mean,
yeah,
like you're
right.
This guy is—he's determined. I don't know if he's determined to prove that he's the best.
Mm-hmm.
He's just going out there doing his thing,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, I think in years past, I think people, the media, people who watch, have. You watch LeBron and he plays at such a high level that I think that he could have easily won more MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we've gotten used to that level of excellence.
That's true.
And maybe we just shouldn't be surprised anymore at what he does. I mean, it's amazing. It's fun to watch, but maybe we just stop doubting who he is. He might be the next great superhero.
right, for sure. And the fact is, it reminds me of how people viewed Jordan back in the 80s and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He just was, period. And he did it every night. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what LeBron's doing, putting the team on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And just dominating.
And that's cool. And I had to ask you that. Now, John McCann made reference to John Wall in his report. He also made reference to Dennis Smith Jr., who has an ankle injury. But Dennis Smith Jr. said he's going to be playing on Saturday. Coach Rick Carlisle said that DSJ, as they call him, was likely going to play. So that it looks like, you know, the young man who's doing good things down in Dallas, he's going to be ready to play today. So looking forward to that. And it's interesting because I didn't know Omri Caspi was out with an ankle injury. For Golden State, not like it matters for Golden State. I mean,
but you mentioned Golden State,
yeah,
and actually mentioning injuries,
right?
That's been at this time of the year, that's the last thing you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, yeah, you're right.
I mean, you know, John Wall should be coming back soon.
Mm-hmm.
Steph Curry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a big concern for Golden State. Whether, I mean, I know Golden State has plenty of weapons, but the last thing you want to do is have to play without, you know, I mean, you call him your best, you know, Golden State's best player, whatever.
Right.
I know. I'm sure plenty of people are going to say, you know, there's a guy named Kevin Durant on that team, so he can be considered Golden State's best player.
Right.
But we know that lineup is stacked,
right.
And even though they can perform at a high level without Curry, mm-hmm. he's still
so
integral
all that being said,
to that team.
Right now in the NBA, as of Friday, this is the way the league looked. Toronto was number one in the East. You had Boston, Cleveland, Philadelphia, Indiana, Washington, Miami, and Milwaukee. Those were the top eight teams, because the top eight teams from each conference make the playoffs. The top eight teams in the East. In the West, you had Houston, Golden State, Portland, New Orleans, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, Minnesota, and Utah. And that's what you said, Vince. Like, you're looking at San Antonio, and they're like almost in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And who else is there? Look, Oklahoma City's at number five, right?
Incredible.
So hey,
they got it together in the second half.
Exactly.
Huh?
But yeah. See, then you got Denver and the LA Clippers pressing those last two teams, like Minnesota and Utah, you know, trying to get in before the season ends. And with 72 games played, you know, it's only an 82-game season. So the last 10 games of this year should be kind of interesting with the NBA. With that, we're going to take a real quick break. We'll come right back. We're going to talk NFL after this, because I got a question to ask you guys about something that I'm not feeling. And is the names, the first name is Johnny, and the second name is Manziel. I'm not feeling it. We'll be right back after this.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. We've been talking about basketball the first part of the show. We even had John McCann weigh in with his I Know You're Going to Dig This segment. In this segment, we got the HBCU Sports Report, which is going to come up soon. But right now, I'm mad. Johnny Manziel had a pro day. Now, it wasn't his pro day. Mm-hmm. It was other players' pro days earlier this week. And NFL scouts showed up to watch other players, supposedly. Mm-hmm. But you know they're watching Johnny Manziel.
Right.
My question to you, gentlemen, is going to be this. Does Johnny Manziel deserve a second chance? Now, before you even go there, why is Johnny Manziel getting a second chance? And then you had Josh McCown. Not McCown. Josh Johnson. And you guys said who? The reason you said who? Josh Johnson's out of San Diego. Okay? He hasn't played a regular season game since 2011.
Goodness
so
gracious.
If he's getting a look, well, to answer the question I asked you guys first and foremost, yes, I think Johnny Manziel deserves a second chance. Mm-hmm. Josh Gordon is playing with the Cleveland Browns, and Josh is a bad man, and I'm glad that he got the second chance.
Mm-hmm.
So give Johnny a second chance. Johnny needs to go to Cleveland, see what he can do make happen in Cleveland
again.
That's
the team that's
drafting him. They have a scout. They have someone looking.
Mm-hmm.
And besides, if he does get a chance to come back into the league and get signed, he's still got a four-game suspension he's looking at.
Because
remember, he got suspended for four games in a year that he didn't play.
Right.
Like, so he didn't play that season. So where did his suspension go?
Right. Well, nowhere. He got on
it. You know, Roger Goodell's waiting. Like, yo, okay, you got signed. But guess what? You got to sit out four games. Right. Why isn't Colin Kaepernick getting a pro day? Well, he better hook up with one of these HBCU pro days and go out there and make it happen.
I mean, you know why. I mean, it's because of the protests.
Whatever,
That's the reason why. That's the reason why Eric Reed, who were protesting with Kaepernick, has decided not to no longer. It's because it's now affecting his money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not. I mean, I understand when but this is the problem. I understand why why Eric Reed is deciding to not protest anymore. Like I say, it's affecting his ability to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they break you down.
Mm-hmm.
If you hit someone in the pocket, you know, they start thinking differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's unfortunate. I hope that I hope that the NFLPA has to file. They need to file a grievance on behalf of Eric Reed and Colin Kaepernick. I get the business side. I understand, you know, a business has the right to not take someone on if it affects their bottom line. Mm-hmm. I get the money, mm-hmm. but I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong to deny these players, capable players. When you look around the league and a guy like Johnny Manziel is giving a look when Kaepernick can't.
Right.
You know, it, I mean, that's wrong. Not right. We're not talking about players' potential on the field, what they can do on the field. It's no longer about that.
Right.
It's about your social beliefs, you know, things that you believe in outside of you making a living. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong. And for this to have carried on this far, I think it sends a bad message. And the NFLPA really needs to step up and protect its players.
Mm-hmm. They do. And my thing is, from a different standpoint, athletic standpoint, I can understand why he would crash, which is odd in my opinion. Manziel would crash a pro day, but what's his name? Kaepernick has last played 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he needs a pro day. They know what he can do. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? If he still wants to play, then teams can take a personal look at him and do the whole process that they need to do if they want to sign him to his team. But he don't need to prove nothing to anybody. You know, the politics aside, the man can get out there and still do what he has to do. And here's hoping that we know the free agent period is long. Mm-hmm. It goes all the way into the summertime. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if this is his still desire to get out there on the field, then it'll come in his favor, you know, yeah. and that people will drop those politics.
Well, I'm still looking for RG3 and Colin Kaepernick to get some time, get at least a look or get a chance, because RG3 said he's keeping in shape. And I'm assuming that Colin is. But see, I think Colin, with that suit that he has pending, with the depositions that's going on, it's going to be a minute if he ever plays again. I think that might have been the nail in the coffin for him because of the legal aspect of it. And I'm quite sure he wouldn't be upset with that. So, but that was just my question. And my point was, I'm still upset about the fact that Colin isn't getting a shot if he still wants to play. I'm still upset about RG3. I think he got a raw deal. But anyway, Josh Johnson was who I was talking about. He's going to play with the Oakland Raiders, who will soon be the Las Vegas Raiders. And like I said, my point there is he's 31 years old. He hasn't played a regular season game since 2011.
Derek Carr.
Is 2018, man.
Yeah, when my son was 2.5 years old.
Yeah, this is 2018.
Derek Carr better not get hurt.
Well, I don't know. You know, John Gruden, it's going to be interesting to see what he does with Oakland, with the Raiders, because, you know, you got to see him on TV talking to all these quarterbacks. Matter of fact, I heard in one report, as I told you, I watched the shows, the talk shows, that John Gruden back in the day of Johnny Manziel said that Johnny Manziel would be a starter on his team. Interesting, huh? I wonder if
Very
Johnny Manziel is going to get signed by the Raiders one day. I don't see it happening.
No, I can't see that happening, man. No, I can't. In fact, everybody does deserve a second chance. But I don't know. I can't see a team ready for that dude yet, man. But we'll see.
What about Ndamukong Suh? The Jets are serious about him.
They're serious, and I thought the Rams were too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm believing. I mean, they still ain't paid Aaron Donald his monies yet.
Oh, really?
So, no, they haven't.
And he sat out for – well, he gave them a problem going into last season, or was it the season before?
Last season, yeah. Right. Didn't he win the Defensive Player of the Year award?
That's a bad boy.
They need to pay him.
Give him his money. I'm talking about Aaron Donald, defensive tackle with the Rams.
But I could see Sue there. I mean, that'd be a heck of a interior interior spot.
So, cool. Now, what's this talk about Cleveland's possibly trading the number one pick?
That's not going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Okay.
Like now, John Dorsey, the GM there,
right,
understands they need a quarterback, and with the way the trades have shaken out so far, mm-hmm. with the Giants at two, the Jets,
mm-hmm. didn't the Colts trade up?
Mm-hmm. Colts traded down.
Okay, Colts traded down
to. I feel like it's the Jets.
Okay.
I mean. So you know, basically 1, 2, 3 are going to be quarterbacks. There's potential for someone to trade up with the Browns at 4 to get another quarterback,
mm-hmm.
Because a team a team like Buffalo, because Buffalo is sitting in what, like 11-12?
Yeah, 11.
Buffalo's sitting at 12. They got that from Cincinnati.
They've already traded players, right. You know, got rid of Taylor. They need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And so I can see them. They have enough ammunition with the extra draft picks they picked up to go up to number four.
Okay.
But I don't see Cleveland making that mistake of not getting your quarterback. Like, they have to get their quarterback. Okay. And then let everything else, you know, fall into place from there. But you have to fall in love with a quarterback. I believe it's going to be either Sam Darnold or
go on the what position? Where in the draft?
Number one.
For the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah.
They're not going to pick Saquon Barkley?
No.
And if they don't, you know where he's going.
He's going to go to the Giants. They're number
exactly.
two.
Exactly.
Not necessarily. Jets number three.
Not necessarily. I mean, look at the Giants. The Giants, the Giants are in a good spot. But the Browns have to get their quarterback, because you can't not get your quarterback. Unless these guys are just kind of even.
All right.
But I think you go quarterback one. I think the Giants need to find the successor to Eli.
You know what, man? And I'm sorry. Here comes Trevin. I am not sold on any of the quarterbacks that these cats are talking about. I mean, when you talk about Darnold, I'm not either. You talk about Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. He supposedly had a great day Wednesday at his pro day. All right. And you're not even mentioning Lamar Jackson. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these top three quarterbacks, because you got the Heisman Trophy winner who's in there as well, you know, but they're not even really talking about him like that.
They think the Buffalo's going to get him.
I think Josh Rosen, the kid out of UCLA,
is the man.
I think he goes number two, because he's already.
So you think Darnold goes number one?
I think Darnold or Allen. If somehow Josh Allen can show that he will be his completion percentage. If he gets that up, if he shows that through workouts that. You know, his completion percentage is not anything to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, then he comes into play at number one.
Does Baker Mayfield, is he, because I was saying the Heisman Trophy winner earlier, that's Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. For those of you who don't know, and I apologize, because sometimes I assume everybody knows what I'm talking about. Out of Oklahoma, he won the Heisman. You think he's up there? Because you said you're looking at Rosen, Josh Rosen.
Yeah, Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold.
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen at two.
Okay.
Number three is the Jets.
Yes, number three is the Jets. Yeah.
You don't make that trade up to three unless you're getting a quarterback. You're not getting a running back.
So Baker Mayfield would be in the conversation.
I don't think he's in the conversation at the top three. I think he's like if a team like Buffalo, Buffalo has a couple choices to make.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't.
But they got rid of their quarterback, so you know they're picking a quarterback.
Right. So it comes down to, are they going to go up to get him? And I feel like I don't think they're going to go up to get a guy like Lamar Jackson. I think you can sit
and wait for him.
You can wait for him.
The stigma still lives.
I mean, but is that a bad? That's not a bad spot to be in.
Not for him, no. But I'm just saying, for us looking at someone like me, who's I've been called Malcolm X at times, but somebody like me, it's like, yo, man, this brother's not even in the discussion of the top three quarterbacks.
But to me, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If he's obviously in the discussion for the top five.
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it.
I mean, you have outside of, once you get past Allen, mm-hmm. Rosen, Baker Mayfield, and
why
Sam
you gotta
Darnold.
Get past Baker Mayfield though? See, no, Baker Mayfield's the one that's not even being discussed.
What I'm saying is, you have to consider Baker Mayfield
mm-hmm.
because he, all the success he had in college.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not throwing in the Heisman, because I'll throw Lamar Jackson in there.
Right.
I mean, he won a Heisman too, but Baker Mayfield has accomplished enough in college.
Right.
That the only thing he doesn't check off is his height.
So let me ask you this. Did the Cleveland Browns take two quarterbacks with the first four
picks?
No,
they better not.
You got the number one pick. Well, no, hear me out. You got the number one pick. Then you got the number four pick. Do you take the second quarterback at number four and then trade him? Because if we're talking four quarterbacks that everybody's salivating over.
If you pick him, now you have to trade him. Right. So I'm not.
There's no bargaining power.
Right. Okay. So when you get after the pick is made for number three, now you're going to see teams are going to be calling the Browns to see can we get that fourth pick.
Got you. Okay.
But once you trade them, then the value goes down.
Right.
Because teams are going to be like, you have to get rid of them. You're not going to sit on. I don't know. And it's not the same as Washington drafting RG3. And Kirk Cousins,
right?
Because they weren't so close,
right?
And the other reason is the Browns need playmakers.
Saquon Barkley.
I mean,
who may still be available at number four?
Oh, absolutely, he will. I, you know what?
Giants. He's gonna be going by number two. Running back.
He's gonna be going by number two.
You know what? I see them taking Josh Rosen because here's the thing. They need to groom a quarterback to succeed Eli Manning. If you draft him at three, at two, you can let him sit behind Eli for this year, and he can be your starter next year.
Hmm.
Giants are you can add pieces later.
Okay.
I think you have to look at the future, and I don't think the Giants are terrible when you look at their roster.
Mm-hmm.
On offense they still have Beckham Jr.
Mm-hmm.
We know that you can get a quarterback. I mean, a running back. The separation between these running backs isn't that wide, but it is for quarterbacks.
But also remember this about the Giants: they're really just a year away from making the playoffs. I mean, I respect their organization because they always try to get better quick and. Eli, I know what you're saying about the future, but Eli still got a couple years in him. And, he had a rough year this year, but I believe that at least two, maybe even 3 years in him.
I think Eli, career-wise, I think he's shown enough that he'd be a good mentor
mm-hmm.
for the next quarterback coming in. And he has enough years left that if the Giants decide to take their quarterback of the future in Josh Rosen and let Eli walk next year, I mean, you've got a guy that you don't have. You didn't have to throw into the fire. You have a guy. I mean, you have a solid quarterback to lean back on. When you start going to the next year. The other thing is, for Josh Rosen, he already said he didn't want to play for the Browns. So, I feel like he wants to play in New York, and there wouldn't be any pressure for him. It's a perfect situation.
Pressure in New York.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to play.
Yeah, well, if he doesn't get on the field. But I just know the Giants, they love running backs. Over the years, it's been proven, man.
Yeah, and they need a running back. They got Wayne Gallman. They got Paul Perkins.
And they got Jonathan Stewart. Yeah.
Jonathan Stewart.
Who was probably just about done.
And Terrell Watson, who you just picked up. But you got Eli Manning and Davis Webb at quarterback. So do you pass on the quarterback and go with Saquon? So I'm going to make a prediction, and I'm going to be bold. It might not be as bold as it sounds. I'm listening to you guys, and I see the Browns taking a quarterback because they got rid of Kaiser. So when they did that, they shouldn't have, they sent him to what, Green Bay?
Yeah, the backup, Aaron Rodgers.
Which doesn't make sense to me. Huntley out of UCLA was Aaron Rodgers' backup, and he came in and played last year.
Yes,
Brett Hundley.
Did.
And I'm a fan of him because I saw him play
stuff.
At UCLA, and he's actually pretty good, and he's a nimble quarterback.
Yeah.
So for them to pick up Kaiser – that means, I don't know, Huntley's days are limited because of his performance last year.
Right.
But then for Cleveland,
I don't agree with it. I thought that this was a good situation for you to keep him.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, even if he's a career backup, he's a guy that he's gone through the fire, about as big a fire as you can go through, 0-16.
Right.
You know, there's a ton of things that I'm sure he's learned in the process. And then you bring in Tyrod Taylor, who's been in the league for a few years, can learn from him.
I'm loving Tyrod.
He's a guy he's going to run your offense.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you at least – you don't have to think of Kaiser as your answer at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought they gave up on him too quick.
Yeah, they did.
I think they did as well. It's really, and then Kaiser. I mean, like you said, I wish he would have stuck around too. He was impressive when I seen him. Seen him
flashes.
A couple times. Yeah, he was impressive to me.
So I think my prediction was going to be this. I think that Cleveland picks up a quarterback with the number one pick, and then they get Saquon Barkley at number four. Because Saquon could be available at number four, because the Giants, like you said, Ray, I agree, they need a running back.
Right.
But if Vince is right and they're talking about replacing or having the person that succeeds,
mm-hmm.
Mr. Manning.
Here's a wrinkle. The Giants, because they just traded Jason Pierre-Paul.
To Tampa Bay.
Incredible.
Yep. Bradley Chubb is open.
Tampa Bay. Did you look at Tampa Bay's defense now? Because Vince Curry is playing in Tampa Bay. Vince Curry from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their defense now looks like the NFC East.
Incredible.
But that's interesting. I like that. But I agree. I Cleveland, man, they're going to make me mad. They're going to make me mad. Because I'm sorry, but I'm seeing the old boy network at work, because we're only looking at Caucasian quarterbacks when you're looking at the top three quarterbacks. You're not even considering Lamar Jackson. I understand you're saying that's good for him. Good for him. You do your thing. And I hope he ends up somewhere where he can actually fit into the system and play well. Yeah. But I'm just fed up. You know, I've been here for a long time. I watched football for a long time. And I'm like, yo, man, I'm tired of this.
And they've done it.
Look, it doesn't mean that the kid won't come in and like he can go to a team like Arizona.
I got you.
Arizona needs a quarterback.
They need one bad.
Yeah,
you know, if he goes in a situation like that already has some veterans on that team with Fitzgerald. What a nice security blanket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know Fitzgerald catches everything
pretty
thrown
much.
His way.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice luxury to have for a young quarterback like Lamar Jackson. So, you know, to me, it's about, you know, I'm okay with him not being considered, you know, top two, top three quarterbacks, because I also want him to go to a situation that's conducive to his growth.
All right.
And if he falls, not that he falls, because he's not being considered in the top five or six picks of the draft, but if he goes later, you know, you're talking about teams that that were closer to the playoffs rather than not. Who probably don't have so many holes to fill per se as some of the teams at the top of the draft. So
right.
I'm okay. I mean, like a guy like Deshaun Watson, I mean, he goes to a very nice situation
in Houston. Yep.
It was kicking butt until those injuries.
I got you.
Yeah, that's for sure. And you know, think of Warren Moon. I mean, he didn't even get drafted, played in Canada, came back and just dominated.
And speaking of Canada, that's where I think Johnny Manziel needs to go, play a year in the Canadian Football League, and then come back to the NFL.
Yeah, it's worked for others. Yeah, absolutely.
That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's not his on-field performance, it's his off-field stuff that you got to pay attention to.
And that's why teams are going to tread
lightly.
Very.
I think he's going to get a chance, man.
Well, he'll easily get a chance.
Yeah, I think he's going to get a chance.
I'll get a chance over him. I'll switch over to the NFL.
I don't think that's happening.
It's going to happen.
I haven't seen your arm.
We love you, man, but I don't think it's happening.
I can throw the option pass.
We have faith in you, man, but that's not happening. We got confidence in you, man, but that's not happening.
But it's not going to happen. But, yeah, it's interesting. But, you know, even sometimes the hype of the draft, they can hype up these quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and then it's always the ones they overlook is the ones that dominate.
Anyway, what we've been talking about is the NFL, and the draft is going to be on April 26th through the 28th, which is going to be off the hook, because I think this time it's in Dallas, isn't it? Is it in Dallas this year?
Yeah, it's in Dallas.
In the big stadium, in the mm-hmm. AT stadium.
It ought to be.
Arlington, Texas, so that's going to be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the NFL draft coming up. We're talking about the prospects and stuff like that. But before we get out of here, check out the HBCU report, because a lot's happening in HBCU sports.
1-2, y'all ready?
Hey, man, pay attention.
Check out this week's HBCU Sports Report. Morehouse, the House, and the Union, Virginia Union, finished the 2017-18 basketball season on top of the Urban Media Today HBCU Top 25 Men's and Women's Hoops poll. Coach Grady L. Brewer, in his 18th season at the helm of the House, had his Maroon Tigers on the hunt, finishing with 25 wins against 3 losses this season, improving on his best season as head coach since 2003, when they won 25 games against only 6 losses. The Maroon Tigers roared out to a fast start, winning their first 19 games before they finally incurred their first loss of the year. That was 85-72 at the hand of Claflin.
The House was led by senior guard Tyrese Walker and his 22.8 points per game, and they didn't suffer another loss until the second round of the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference tournament, and this time they fell to Claflin again by a score of 77-69. Now, the historic season for the Morehouse Tigers came to a close in the first round of the NCAA Division II National Championship, and that was a 98-97 loss to Florida Southern. This marked the first time in school history the House actually hosted a Division II National Championship Tournament playoff round. Now on to the queens of the court. The Virginia Union Lady Panthers ruled their way to the top spot again. This time, the ladies finished with a record of 28-3. Panthers head coach Anne Marie Gilbert, who led her team to the D2 Final Four a year ago, had her ladies firing on all cylinders again this season. The eventual Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association champs started the season rebounding from a loss in their second game of the season. That was to Edinburgh, 89-79. But then they went on a 20-game winning streak between November 17th of 2017, and they weren't done until February 3rd of this year, 2018. The Panthers were finally tripped up by Shawan, 85-79, in conference play. Union was led by 6-foot senior guard Alexis Johnson, who averaged 16.9 points per game, and they finished the regular season without another loss. The Union then breezed through the CIAA tournament and advanced to the NCAA D2 Championship Tournament. It was the first time that the Union was a host in the NCAA Division II Championship Tournament. But again, their hopes were dashed and spoiled as Coach Gilbert's troops ran into an old familiar friend in the Bulldogs of Bowie State in the first round. And the Bulldogs took it to the Panthers on their home court by a score of 63-56. Big up to the number one team finishing the top of our poll. That was the queens of the court, the Virginia Union Lady Panthers. Meanwhile, Dana Ford is leaving Tennessee State to take over at Missouri State. Coach Ford in his four seasons at TSU led the Tigers to a record of 57 wins against 65 losses. This season just passed, they finished with a 15-15 record. Coach Ford's moving on to become the head coach of Missouri State. And Cheney's the oldest HBCU, historically black college and university in the nation, which was established way back in 1837 in Chester County, just outside of Philly, will operate its sports next season as an independent. That's because there's financial issues that need to be resolved, as well as some administration issues that the Wolves will have to take care of. The Wolves finished this past football season with only one win against 10 losses as they compete in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference. They're in search of another conference. Meanwhile, the men's and women's basketball programs, which participated in the PSAC this year, finished with records of 2-23 and 6-22, respectively. They will also look for another conference next season. The move also includes the women's volleyball team, which finished this past season winless at 0-26. The university has been experiencing financial and administrative problems in the past, prompting some changes. We just want the school to stay open. That's your HBCU sports report for this week. Now back to the fellas on Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
All right, gentlemen, so you heard that, the HBCU sports report. You got Morehouse, finished number one on our HBCU top 25 poll for the men. You have Virginia Union, the ladies were queens of the court in the top 25 for
they
the
got it going
there,
on.
There he goes.
That's soon, right. There I go.
So as soon as you mentioned Richmond and Virginia Union, there Ray Porter Jr. comes in. Tell him why you come in like that, Ray.
Yeah, I tell you, that's the school I almost went to, the HBCU school that was a bunch of pit transcripts away from me going there.
There you go. Before we wrap up and leave out of here, anything you guys heard interesting this week that you want to leave with?
Here's what's interesting, and I know they're still working it out, but that whole crazy catch rule that they're trying to...
Man, that gives me a headache.
Yeah, that gets on my nerves, because it's like they're making it seem like they're modified. And no, you're going back to common sense when a catch was a doggone catch.
And you're talking about NFL now.
Yes, so I am. I'm talking about the NFL.
Okay.
You know, and if that's the case then they might as well. Obviously, it won't affect it, but... Might as well give Jesse James, who was it, Kelvin Benjamin?
Yep.
Dez Bryant.
And Kelvin Bryant.
And Kelvin Bryant.
Don't forget about Kelvin Bryant. He was the first. I mean, Dez Bryant.
And Dez Bryant, yeah. Bryant. When Dez I Bryant. Sat there and watched that against Tampa, against Green Bay, and I'm like, they must think everybody's stupid to think that man did not score a touchdown.
Nope. Dez Bryant scored, Jesse James scored, and Kelvin Bryant scored.
Right. And the only time they got it right was with the tight end that scored the touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Right. So for them to do that, they need to admit that just flat out wrong. But you know, referees got too much pride to do that.
It wasn't the refs.
It was Al Riveron.
Yeah, it's the system. It wasn't the refs.
Well, he need to do it over there in New York. So it'll be interesting. I mean, it's just obvious that it's going to be approved anyway. But that's what they get. Now they're red in the face.
Oh, y'all got Ray mad. Got Ray mad.
This is Ray being Ray.
He's talking. What about you, Vince?
I don't know. Been consumed with the NCAA tournament, like all the just upset city, upset week, like
Cinderella's.
Oh my goodness.
Awesome.
Crazy.
Yeah. I like what they said earlier about UMBC before they, you know what? They could have beat Kansas State. UMBC lost to Kansas State earlier this week after they upset Virginia. Yeah. But they said, you must be Cinderella. Cinderella's glass slipper was crushed but they could have beat Kansas State. Right. They really could have.
And they should have. They were leading at one point.
Yeah, I thought they would have. I'm surprised because you guys know that opening weekend next Saturday, baseball.
Oh my.
Yeah, baseball starting next week, so that's going to be interesting because I can't wait to see what's going to happen up in New York City.
Get that pitching together, man.
You're talking about the hitting?
I know, but I'm saying when you get the pitching together with that hitting, they're going to dominate.
You got Giancarlo Stanton up there. Are you kidding me right now?
Combined 100-something home runs.
Are you kidding me? I can't wait, man.
I guess you picked him, right?
Did I pick?
Yeah.
I picked the Yankees.
So did I.
So did Ray.
And that's what I mean. I want to see him do
it. Wait a minute. You picked the Yankees too, didn't you?
No.
You picked the Indians?
I did pick the Indians.
You're straight up Cleveland.
But, I mean, they do contend. So, I mean, they're going to be up in there, too, in the Central. They're going to be up there in the Central.
Because you got the Houston Astros who are still off the hook.
Yeah,
they were the best team in the
league
last year.
Yeah.
You still got the L.A. Dodgers who still got fire. They got pitching and they got hitting.
Yes, they do. Yes,
you know what I'm saying? So, I like the Yankees because I'm just like, yo, you got some bad boys. You got Judge.
Oh, Judges, yes.
You got Judge and you got the Judge and the jury now. You got Stanton and Judge.
I like how they, when they come to the plate. Yeah.
It's going to be interesting next week. Anyway, all that being said, this has been Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Trevin A. Jones along with Vince Butts and Ray Porter Jr.
See you next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of game is being played? How's it doing there? I get up. All right.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. We're excited to add that we are your only source for your HBCU college football sports report with Trevin A. Jones. Your morning and afternoon commute is not the same with DJ Sergey Boogie and the Traffic Jam. Tune in 5 to 7 a.m. and 5 to 6 p.m. Listen in for your daily gossip inside the E-Report with yours truly, Kiki Brown. And don't forget about the Sunday Night Flashback with TJ, Sunday evenings at 5 p.m. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com. Or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.